up, loungers?
We are back.
That's right, sports fans, back for another edition. Don't expect this type of energy all the time. I don't have it. All right, so nice little reception coming back. Got a few listens to the last podcast, which was nice. I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. So, this week's topic, the infamous pizza party. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, when your staff morale is down for some reason, well, I know why, I'll explain that, but management always wants to throw a pizza party, quote unquote. And for the last 3 years during COVID, that's been kind of the running joke. Is, well, when things get crappy, we'll just throw a pizza party. And I've gotten into a few discussions with it about how they actually can work. And before you keyboard warriors go ripping me a new one, hear me out. Because I'm going to tell you a way that for about 99 cents a person, I can bring up morale. Doubt me? I actually have documented proof that it works. So, let's talk about it for a minute. Years ago, I used to be in the car business, automotive. I was a service director. Well, wasn't a director, service manager, but I started out as a service writer. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's where if your car breaks down, you take it to the dealership. I would be the person you would see and you would say, hey, my check engine light is on. My brakes are squeaking. I have this noise, whatever. And then we're the ones that call you back and tell you there's 15,000 million things wrong with your car when it's only got 5,000 miles, right? So, back in 2003, I went to work for an Infiniti dealership. And I was assistant service manager there. And their customer service, the dealerships get graded by the manufacturer. And they get surveys. So you get a survey in the mail, you fill it out, you send it back in. And a lot of that is tied to the dealership's money. It's tied to their rebates from the manufacturer. It's tied to your paycheck, et cetera, et cetera. So we would get bonuses based off of our customer satisfaction index, which we call it CSI. Okay. So I started this Infiniti dealership. And I knew they needed help. I was looking for a job, and somebody said, hey, go hit them up because they're looking for someone. They need a lot of help. So I went over there, and I was known in the industry as a guy who had good customer service. I just was. I knew how to make people happy. I'd make people laugh. Okay. So I walk in this dealership. I find out they're in dead last out of every Infiniti dealership in the United States. There was no one worse for customer service than this dealership, and I thought, not sure I want to be here, but here's the thing. And I thought, well, if they're already at the bottom, I can't make them any worse. They can only go up. Let's see what we can do. So I took it as a challenge. I actually had energy and gumption, and you know, I was willing to help out and do things before I got into this industry. But how do you bring up morale? A lot of management thinks we'll just buy them pizza, buy them lunch, and they'll be happy, which to an extent is true. Free food is always good, and it always makes you feel better, especially pizza. It's a comfort food, right? I remember when I was with Care Ambulance down in L.A., we would be holding the wall at some of the hospitals down there, and other ambulance companies, their ops managers would bring pizza for them, and they would let us get in on it. And I thought, man, if our managers did this, imagine how morale would be. And I noticed those guys were typically happier. Because that happened, because their management showed they cared, right? So, Infiniti. I was assistant service manager. My paycheck was tied to customer satisfaction. Well, how do you make your customers happy? Well, I have the philosophy of if you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your customers, which means your customers will take care of you. So it's just a full circle, right? And so I had to get morale up. The shop morale was horrible. The mechanics didn't want to be there. It was hot. And I mean, when I say it was hot in the shop, it was hot. It would get to like 125 inside our shop. And there was no breeze. It was miserable. These guys were, they were hating life. And they weren't, they were paid good, but obviously everybody thinks they're underpaid, right? I got this idea. I bought these giant pizzas. Sometimes out here they call them Dimitri's. They're like 2-foot circles. They're huge, right? Cost $20. You get 2 of them. Pepperoni pizza. No big deal. For me, if I got a good enough CSI score, I could make $800 to $1,000 a month just off of that alone. Just the bonus was that high. So I bought a pizza, well, 2 pizzas, right? The Dimitri, and I give it to my guys. But there's more to it than that. And this is where management fails consistently. And this happened at my hospital. Now, let me explain to you what the hospital, how it worked at the hospital. And they would come in, they would get pizza, or what would happen was they would have leftover pizza from a meeting, and then they would bring it down to the to our department, and management would just say, hey, let everybody know there's some leftover pizza in the break room. Like, that's going to make us feel better. We get leftovers. Now, granted, ER is the redheaded stepchild of the hospital. It's kind of like EMS, right? We're at the bottom of the food chain. We're there. We're a necessary evil. So anyways, you know, somebody at the hospital go around telling everybody, hey, there's free pizza. And it usually showed up around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's eating lunch. They're full. They're tired. They're ready to go home. They've been beaten down from working already this morning. That's not going to work, right? But let me explain to you what I did. Okay. I would buy the Dimitri pizza. I would give it to my guys. Whatever they didn't eat, I would take it to a parts department. We're 2 different departments. So I'd go over to parts, say, hey, you guys want leftovers? Now, granted, I did kind of what our department was doing, but or my hospital is doing, but hear me out. They were like, yeah, absolutely. So that brought their morale up because it didn't happen all the time. It was nobody had ever bought pizza at this place, apparently. They were all shocked that I did it. And they're like, man, we really appreciate the pizza. Thanks, appreciate it, you know? And all of a sudden, tensions got a little less between the two departments. And so the next month, I bought a total of 4 pizzas. Cost me $40. Walked over to their department, handed them the 2 pizzas. My department got 2. Everybody's fat and happy. We got done. I took all the leftovers, gave them to the sales department. Third month, bought 6 pizzas. I think you can see where this is going. There's really 4 departments at the dealership, right? You have service, sales, parts, and office staff. So I would buy every department 2 of these pizzas. Cost me $80. Not a big deal. Because again, I was making 800 to 1,000 as long as I hit that bonus, which month number one, guess what? I took our dealership from dead last to halfway up the chain of Infinity dealers in 3 months. That's almost 1,000 dealers, if I remember correctly. So we went up 50% of the list just by buying them pizza. But here's what I did. Instead of just putting a pizza down and saying, hey, there's pizza when you guys are ready, I would tell them ahead of time, hey, guys, on Friday, don't bring a lunch. I'm going to get pizza for the shop. And, of course, you get why. Well, because I want to. I want to say thanks. I'm showing my appreciation, and it's kind of hard to buy you things or show you appreciation when I don't have a budget to pay, you know, give you a pay raise or whatever. But out of my own pocket, my own goodwill, I'm going to buy you a pizza, at least something. And they were like, whoa, that's crazy, right? Like, here's this guy. And that's really what it comes down to, is you got to talk to your people. Hey, I did this because I'm appreciative of you. Not, hey, there's pizza in the break room. There's a big difference. And so I would go around to each and every person and say, hey, appreciate what you're doing. There's pizza in the break room. Feel free to help yourself. Like, and not only that, but I got it there at lunchtime, not at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when everybody had already eaten, or if since I told them I was getting it, they weren't starving. So pizza parties can work. It's simple. Within a few months, we were in the top 5% of customer satisfaction. Why? Because my people were taken care of. They liked what I was doing for them. They, in turn, were happy producing better work, producing more work, which made my paycheck increase, which made their paycheck increase. And so it just becomes this snowball of positivity, right? Now, again, going back to pizza parties and, better yet, how to boost morale for 99 cents. Before I get into the 99 cent thing, let me just explain. It's not sustainable, right? Like, you can do it a couple times. You've got to mix it up. You can't just keep throwing food at people. You're going to have to do some different things. But I'm just saying, in the interim, while you're coming up with new ideas, and do pizza parties work? Yes, they do, just not 50 of them every week, right? You gotta spread that out a little bit, spread the love a little bit. So 99 cents, how do you bring up morale for 99 cents? It's simple. It's the perfect time of year for them. And what you do is you send somebody down to your local 7-Eleven and you get them Slurpees or Icy's, whatever you have available. 99 cents, you can get them. I think they're 99. They may have gone up. Who knows? Inflation, they're probably $40 now. But for 99 cents a person, you can go get a Slurpee or an Icy. It's not about the cost. It's the act, right? That's all it is. You know, it comes down to this, right? It's going to work for a little bit of time, but you've got to really get down to the root problem, and that's where it comes to talking and listening to your employees. Why are they unhappy? Well, I can tell you at the hospital during COVID, we felt understaffed, underappreciated, overworked, and just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then they came down with the mandates. And I know everybody has their own opinion about the mandates, and that's fine. What I'm telling you is what happened and what is facts of what happened at my work. 75% of personnel in the emergency department did not want the COVID vaccine. They didn't want it. Why? They didn't trust it. That's it. That's all it comes down to. Now, again, you can argue. I'm not trying to start a fight with this, but what I'm trying to tell you is facts of what happened. Okay? 75% did not want to take it and were coerced and forced into taking it. So, number one, how do you make your employees feel better? Well, one, you got to fight for them. So when the state starts, or the federal government or the state starts fighting you with things, you've got to stand up as an employer and fight back. But because it was tied to money, they laid down. But what would have happened if every hospital and every con home stood up to the federal government and said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to force people. Or, hey, what can we do in the meantime to fix this? What can we do to you know, smooth things over? Or how can we convince people to take it, or that it's safe or whatever? And that's really what they did. And I'm trying not to go too far down that path, because I've got very strong opinions about it and I'm very mad about it still. You know, let us work out a plan. But they put out a deadline within like a month or two and we're like, it's got to be done now. Well, our employer just said, okay, whatever. Well, we're trying to stand up for you guys, but we can't. That was it. There was no, let's have a talk, let's sit down and discuss it, let's show you why, et cetera, et cetera. I think it would have been better had they explained things to us, right? Because if you keep your employees in the dark, they're going to be unhappy. Well, why are you doing this? Well, because we have to. That's not good enough, especially when you're dealing with type A alpha personalities, right? You can't just be like, well, that's just the way it is. We don't accept that. No type A alpha will accept, well, it's just the way it is. It's not good enough for us. We need to hear something more. So how do you fix these problems? Well, you're understaffed. Why are you understaffed? Well, number one, you have everybody calling off because they're overworked and understaffed. There's problem number one. During the last 3 years, if anybody even had a symptom of any type of illness, you had to stay home for like 14 days, automatic. You did have people who were legit sick. You had people who just had allergies who were off for 14 days. The legit sick were off for 14 days. And then you had people taking advantage of the system going, oh, I don't feel good. I have a headache. I got to stay home. Well, you can't see a headache. You can't be like, oh, yeah, you sound like you got a headache. No, you can sit here if you have a stuffy nose, a scratchy throat, you're always coughing, you're sneezing, whatever. I got a headache. It's the easiest scam in the world. So now you've got, instead of just, I don't feel good, those are the people calling off, you have three times the amount of call-offs of what you normally had. So how do you keep people happy? You can't, but you've got to do what you got to do. You know, and that's when you start bringing in your help. Let's say you need 24 staff members per day for whatever you're doing. And that's 24, you know, EMTs and paramedics, you know, 12 paramedics, 12 EMTs or dual medic, whatever you guys are running. or firefighters, whatever, whoever's listening to this, whatever your department needs are for the day, what do you have coming in? Well, 10% is 2.5 people. You're talking roughly 3 people a day calling off. You're down, you're short 3 people right off the bat. That's 10%. That's simple math. But now we're talking 3 times that. So you're talking 9, 10 people. Out of 24, you got 14. That is not a lot of people to be running a 24-person show. Okay, you get a few people to pick up, 3 people pick up. You're still extremely short-staffed. That's where management kicks in, right? But people don't see this, and people don't understand that. How do you overstaff and accept? Because you know what's going to happen, right? It's just like Murphy's Law is you go, okay, well, we're going to have 9 call-offs. Let's bring on 6 extra people for the day. And then nobody calls off. And now you're overstaffed. You got to start sending people home. Understandable. But in reality, during COVID times, you could probably keep most staff on hand and use them, utilize them. At least we could. But, you know, you guys got to remember, too, you got to look at it from both sides of the fence. And you got to understand that it's a business. No matter what, it's still a business. They still got to make money. They still got to make their shareholders happy. They still have to, you know, they have to stay in business or you ain't going to have a job. So what do? Right? Their hands are tied too. But you got to look at it from both sides. Do I think they handled it right? I don't think anybody handled COVID right. Not as far as staffing levels. And it was too much too fast with no plan in place. And I think, ironically, the one industry that is quote unquote ready for anything was not ready for that. I don't think you could be. One of the things I saw happening, you know, during COVID was they were, you know, again, management thinks so, throwing money at it, at the problem is the fix. And a lot of people say that, but my hospital and other hospitals and even EMS agencies, fire, they were throwing big money around and they were trying to keep people happy. I know my hospital was throwing EMTs an extra 20 something an hour if you worked an overtime shift. That was double for some of those techs, right? Right off the bat. Come in, work, we'll pay you, we'll double your pay. You were getting double time. Then if you get held over anything after 12 hours, you went to double time, so they would double your pay. So if you're making 20, now you're getting 40. They would throw the extra 20 on there. You're now making 60 an hour. Then you work night shift, you get an extra 15%. Then you work weekend, you get another 17 on top of the 15. I was out from COVID for a full 30 days. And then when I came back, I worked an overtime shift right when we were hitting our peak, which was at Christmas time. And management asked me to hold over. I don't work overtime. I have a side business. Now it's my business, not even a side business, my full-time business, but at the time, it was a side business, and I made good money with it. I didn't need to work the overtime. I didn't want to work the overtime. I didn't like my job, as you know. I've been burned out for a long time. They were desperate, and they said, and in my hospital in California, the way it works, when you have a psych patient come in, you have to literally have someone sit and watch them for 24 hours a day while they're sitting there. Like, you can't take your eyes off of them. And that is your job for the entire 12-hour shift. Now, you're burned out, you're tired, what do you want to do? Sit back, relax, BS with the nurses, BS with everybody else who's sitting on other psych patients. We would have 14, 16 psych patients at a time. And so you just sit there and talk to people all day long. It could be relaxing. It was long days, though. But, so I'm working, and management asked me to stay. And I was like, no. And they're like, well, pay you this, and then you get this on top of that. Said, all right, I'll stay an extra couple hours. So I did. Then, like, you want to work tomorrow, which I didn't, but it was a weekend. So then I got my weekend differential. So I was like, sure, I'll work weekend differential plus COVID pay. And they said, we'll let you sit all day. You don't even have to work. You're just going to sit here and monitor all day. All right, cool. So did that. And then they came to me Saturday night and they're like, you want to stay for tomorrow? No. Come on, we could use you. We'll let you sit again. So I literally sat for like 3 days watching people sleep, basically. I think I calculated somewhere around the area of $80-some an hour for me to sit there. And that wasn't uncommon. But even at 80-something an hour, I wasn't happy. Why? Burnout. It wasn't appreciated. That particular time was that particular manager who had asked me to work. Appreciate it. And then in return, you would get the jobs you wanted. So if you wanted to sit, you got it. If you wanted to be the trauma tech for the day, you got it. If you wanted to be, you know, a vital signs person all day, you could just do vitals all day long. Like, you got your choice of assignment for the day. There was one where it was a charge nurse. I calculated her pay, and I don't remember exactly what it came out to, but with all their extra pay, right? So I think she was making about $65 an hour. She was a charge nurse, which paid her an extra $3 an hour more, so $68. Plus, she was an MICN. That's another $2 more an hour. So there's $70 an hour that she made, basically, right off the top. So at $70 an hour, plus her 17% weekend, her 15% nights. And then they were paying nurses, another $60 an hour, right? So you're talking, what is that, 130? You're talking a base of 130 plus her 17% plus her 15%. It's stupid money. And I walked into work and she was actually watching a psych patient. She was sitting watching someone sleep. It was 7:30 in the morning and she's watching people sleep, getting paid $100-some almost. I want to say, I calculated one time, I think it was like $200 an hour to sit and watch people sleep. That's all she had to do, sit and watch people sleep. You have to chart every 15 minutes. Patient, same as before. And literally, it's like a copy and paste. She left the ER shortly after. Why? She's unhappy. Because it wasn't about the money. It never is. So what does management got to do? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. Why are you asking me? I really don't know. I couldn't tell you. But I do know people have a desire to be appreciated. You've got to take care of your staff. Period. End of story. You can't just keep sweeping stuff under the rug. You can't tell them we're working on it. We're working on it. We're working. If you don't show me steps, you're not working on it. There was a position at the hospital during COVID where you were a greeter, basically, and you had to screen everybody who came in. You screen them for symptoms, screen them for a temperature. You know, it was rough, because my hospital, you see about 300. You could see 300. I think they hit 400 one day. Just in the ER, 400. That's how many people you're talking to, is bare minimum 400 people. Plus their family members and friends and everybody else. So you were spent halfway through your shift. Just done. Nobody wanted to work it. When I left the hospital, they had told me they had been working on it for a few months now, of trying to get somebody to permanently take that spot so that we didn't have to. It took them almost a year to make that happen. A year. And all you needed was a CNA. You really don't even need a CNA. You could have anybody do that job. But they wanted somebody with a little bit of medical experience so they could at least look at them and say, you don't look good. But again, you can train that. You can train anybody, right? Doesn't take long. But the you would get stuck out there. And I know techs, I know nurses that would use every possible sick day and call off they could. Because they were miserable. They didn't want to be there. Because the chance of you getting that spot was pretty high. Why? 8 techs. We were lucky to have 5. We usually had 4. So we had 50% of our staff every day. So your chances of getting that are extremely high. So they would put somebody in trauma. You would put somebody on our busiest side of the ER, because we had like 6 ERs, 6 different areas. So there's 2 of your techs. Then 1 would be sitting, or 2 would be sitting, and you're out of techs. So you got trauma, you got the front. We called it the podium. Put 1 in your busy part of your ER. There's 3 techs gone. And now you got sitters, and that's it. That's all you got. Your chances of getting that podium spot were pretty darn high. And some of our techs couldn't be trauma techs because they were new, which was good for us who were trauma trained and been doing it for a while and were allowed to take that spot. But you can only do that for so long before the new guy goes, well, I'm tired of being out there. Why can't the other guys be out there? And then when you know how it is, squeaky wheel gets the grease. Anyways, I would do a lot of pizza for our employees. I would do a lot of cookies, too. You can do simplest cookies. That's not even 99 cents a person. Just get them a bunch of cookies. We had a Subway at the hospital. Go down to Subway, buy out all their cookies, bring them back. Here, guys. Just saying thanks. It's rough. Cookies make people feel better. So most of the time. But, so again, do pizza parties work? Yes, they do. Pizza parties work. Slurpees work. Icies work. Cookies work. But it's not sustainable. You've got to fix your problem. Right? But the pizza parties 100% work. But it's not about the party. It's about how you deliver it. Always. It's always about how you deliver stuff. So, anyways, if any of you are managers or listening and need to bring up your morale, go get them pizza or Slurpees. Especially right now. It's hot. Go get them Slurpees. Icies. Whatever frozen drink they like. Go buy one. They're cheap. Do it out of your own pocket. Go to the other managers. Go to the other administration. Hey, I want to do something nice for our employees out in the field where it's hot and they're sweating and it's humid and they're gross. I want to buy them Icies. Can you guys donate $1? Can you donate $2, $5, whatever? How much change is in your car? Go get 50 cents out of your car, right? It's nothing. It has nothing to do with that, though. Take care of your employees. Your employees will take care of your customers. And your customers will take care of you. Full circle. I think Richard Branson, the guy who owns Virgin Airlines? I think that's his saying. He's big on that too. And the first time I heard that, I wasn't even in management yet. And I was like, man, this guy's got it. No wonder he's got money. He takes care of his employees. That's all he has to do. Make them happy. The happier they are, happier your customers will be. Anyways, thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
I know.
Yeah, still working on stuff. Deciding whether I want to do a new logo or not. I switch up logos all the time. I've been through so many logos, it's not even funny. So if you're an artist, I do pay. Money's been tight getting this thing back off the ground. Been dumping a lot of money into it. So I'm trying not to spend a whole lot of money. Our Facebook reach is huge. Instagram, not so much. But if you want to work together, let me know. If you got cheaper prices than $150 for a drawing, which I understand, people need to get paid. I'm just trying to keep costs down. So if you're an artist and you do artwork, hit me up. Let me know. Give me something. Show me something you got. Again, I'm not trying to rip you off. I'm not trying to get anything for free. I'm just trying to reduce my cost. And you can email me, you can DM me, whatever you guys want to do. But give us a follow on the platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I think those are our three right now. And I threw a TikTok out there just to see how it does. I don't know if I'm going to keep it or not, but it's there. It's all the YouTube shorts. I threw them over there real quick to see how they perform. And follow us on all the podcasting sites. Greatly appreciate it. And if you guys have ideas, send them to me. If you guys have an idea and want to be on the show, send it to me. I have all the capabilities of doing call-in shows. I have capabilities of doing live, which I really want to set up a live event. I just want to get a little bit more traction inside the Instagram app. And so please go follow us there if you are not. And we'll try to put together a live show where I can actually have you guys call in. I have full capabilities. The studio I set up I have is like full-on radio station. I can do call-ins. We can do live. We can film it. It can be fun. We can talk about whatever. We can rag on whomever. We can do whatever we want. So let me know what you think. Leave a comment. Leave a like. And keep lounging.